The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. How is everyone tonight? Hopefully I am on the air and you can all hear me. We have a really interesting guest tonight. So I hope a lot of people are listening out there. And we've got all sorts of stuff going on. Hold on one second. I've got a call coming in here, but I'm not sure what's going on there. At any rate, let me see if I'm on the air with John Hall. Are you there, John? Okay. Doesn't look like he's on the phone. I guess they're trying to reach him, so we'll go through this. At any rate, there's a lot going on in the world today, and a lot going on at Project Camelot. For those of you who haven't already been to our website today, we have a new release out. It is from a new whistleblower, and I encourage everyone to go to our site, and on the front page blog, you'll see the post there. Okay, and it looks like they have gotten contact with John Hall. And, John, are you there?
Yeah, Carrie, sorry you didn't get me the first time.
No problem. I'm really glad we were able to connect with you so quickly, and that's really wonderful. What I'll do is give you a short introduction here just based on what I see is kind of like a bio, and I want to encourage everyone who is listening to go to SAT. It's satweapons.com, S-A-T-W-E-A, P as in Paul, O-N-S. com. That is John Hall's website, and he is an expert. You are an expert on satellite surveillance of individuals. And I've just got a real short bio here. It is Dr. John Hall. He's a medical doctor in San Antonio, Texas. He's the author of a new book called A New Breed: Satellite Terrorism in America. He's a board-certified diplomat of the American Board of Anesthesiology and a member of the American Academy of Pain Medicine. He's also an active member of the Mind Science Foundation, dedicated to the study of human consciousness. He sits on the medical committee of the human rights organization Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. So that's kind of a succinct little bio there. John, maybe you can go into some detail as to how you got involved in the subject to start out with.
Well, as you said, I'm a medical doctor here in San Antonio, and was dating a girl who began hearing voices in her surroundings and in her head, responding to those voices without loud conversation. Claimed she was being attacked by, you know, things or weapons that she couldn't see. Then her place started getting broken into. She started being drugged with Rohypnol, as a date rape drug, and being raped. This is all along with stalking, or now what we term gang stalking, I actually prefer the term organized stalking, because with some people you say gang stalking, they picture the Crips and the Bloods and that type of thing. But just an organized form of stalking where you have various people that are always around your door or looking in your windows or following you to work or following you everywhere you go. It's an inundation. She began having that, and then I began having it. Began getting followed to and from my home to hers. Started writing the plate numbers down, and they all traced back to a PI group, private investigative group, that was owned by a former FBI agent and a son who's a retired lieutenant colonel in the DOD, and hired nothing but his relatives to do the stalking and the surveillance work, and started looking more into it, talking to friends of mine that I have that are currently with the CIA and with the FBI, to find out exactly how it's being done. I knew a little bit about it already, that they could bombard you with voice-to-skull type technology. The other one is elf-wave broadcasting, where you hear voices in your surroundings, not necessarily in your head, which is what she was getting, was actually getting both. Finally caught them breaking into her place with putting voice-activated recorders in her condominium, caught her in a drug state screaming their names to get out while they were looking for the recorder, and took it all to the police. And without having a recall to actually prove the rape, they really couldn't do much with the stalking, and told me that it's not what you know, but what you can prove. So the next step was to write a book and start exposing it. And in writing that, found out that it's going on with thousands of people nationwide and even more worldwide.
Wow, that is a really incredible story. The fact that you were involved in it directly is, and someone close to you was also impacted, obviously in a very serious way, is really extraordinary. And then that you had the wherewithal not only to pursue the matter, but then you wrote a book about it. What was your background before this?
I did a little bit of work with the government that I really can't talk about, but was exposed to this type of technology in Nicaragua along with a couple of other friends. At that time, it wasn't being done with satellite, I don't think, but was being done with AWACS planes. And that's where the initial experience was, and then really never didn't think about it again. And actually, another doctor, he's not a medical doctor, he's, believe it or not, a doctor of divinity or theology that I do a radio show with, who was also down there. And our paths crossed once again in San Antonio, and I told him what was going on, and he said, well, you know, that sounds like satellite surveillance. And I said, yeah, has anybody commercialized this? And I got a hold of a friend of mine who's currently with the CIA and said, has anybody commercialized this type of technology where somebody can hire it done from a commercial service, even if you're hiring it from abroad, from England or China or India or somewhere? And he said, nope, it's a weapon of war for use abroad only, under strict supervision by, you know, executive orders on intelligence gathering. But, you know, then why do we have thousands of people in this country that are all voicing the same complaints? It almost looks like it's probably agency sterile experimentation, not unlike MK Ultra. I'm sure you're familiar with MK Ultra, the early mind control experiments by the CIA. They used social outliers. I mean, usually the victims were everyday people, some people with drug problems, guys that were using prostitutes. What we term social outliers, people that were already slightly discredited in their lifestyle. So when they did voice these complaints that they had people experimenting on them, they were blown off. You know, they were discredited. And the biggest question I get with this is people say, well, if they can get into your head and make you hear voices and see you inside your home with X-ray imaging and forward-looking infrared imaging, then they would be doing it to heads of state and congressmen and CEOs and, you know, and in some instances they probably are. But if it's an experimental protocol, that's exactly the people you don't do it to. You know, you do it to the everyday person, the housewife, the guy that's making 40 grand a year, you know, the guy that maybe is using a little bit of marijuana. So that way when he voices these complaints, you know, they say, well, it's the drug, it's the stress, it's a psychiatric illness. And you're, if you're an everyday person, you're not in any political position or a power position to really do anything about it or get the attention you need. So that's why I decided, you know, need some exposure. There's plenty of people blogging about it on the computer, on the internet, but nobody had really put anything out where a non-targeted person or a person who's never heard about this can pick it up off the shelf at a Barnes & Nobles or Amazon and learn about it. Because if, you know, knowledge is power, and if you know about it, you know its capability, when you first start being affected by it, you're not going to go run to somebody and say, oh, my God, I'm hearing voices, and end up with a diagnosis that's going to discredit you for the rest of your life.
So, okay, you know, because this is very tantalizing, that you actually were involved in something, doing something for the government where you came across a certain type of surveillance that wasn't exactly satellite-based, as you said, but that it was related in some form or fashion to what you came across later. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it was used for communication at that time, radio-free communication. So when people went out into the field, they could be given directions. To my knowledge or to my memory, it wasn't two-way at that time. It was one-way communication to give you directions in a field setting without a radio. You heard it in your head. So it's been worked on for quite some time. In 1996, through Freedom of Information, there's a 1996 article from the Army called the Addendum to the Bioeffects of Non-Lethal Weapons, where they bring it up pretty succinctly as microwave hearing. And in that research study, they even say that imagine the incapacitating results when an enemy combatant begins to hear voices in their head that aren't their own. And they go on to mention the value of this technology in a hostage crisis, where, you know, the hostages can be communicated with without the hostage hearing, or the hostage taker being communicated with without the hostage's hearing. As a matter of fact, I remember here in Texas several years back, we had the Waco, the Branch Davidian thing.
Right.
In Newsweek, they had ran an article where the FBI had contracted the work of Igor Smirnov from Russia, who worked in this technology, and were actually going to try using the voice of God in David Koresh's head to try to make him give up. I don't know if they ever actually did it. From the Newsweek article, they said that they humored the idea, they brought him over, they thought about doing it and decided not to for some reason, or decided not to tell us they did. Anyway,
right,
you know,
which is much more likely.
Which is more the case.
Okay, well, this is actually, I mean, amazingly interesting. I have to say that we're also talking about literally, you're talking about using voice technology that goes directly to the mind of the person, right?
Yeah, it's called microwave hearing. It was based on the early studies by Dr. Alan Frey. They called it the Frey effect, F-R-E-Y, or Frey, depending on what part of the country you're from. He noticed that certain individuals around radar installations could tell when the radar came off and on. They would hear it in their head, a popping and crackling kind of sound. So he started doing research on that and found out that it's radio frequency in the microwave bandwidth that can actually heat up the thermoelastic tissue in the middle ear and cause a sound wave that propagates, and eventually you start hearing the sound. And what the Army and what all the intelligence communities have done is capitalize on that to be able to carry spoken word and communications on that same microwave carrier wave.
Okay, and what year was that, to your knowledge?
They started, well, they already had it pretty well perfected in 96 when they wrote the report, so it would have been probably 85, 86, 87, that about those years.
Incredible. And I also heard rumors that that's exactly the technology they used to get Saddam Hussein's armies to surrender.
Very similar technology. That was called silent sound spectrum or silent spread sound spectrum. And you're right. I mean, those men took apart their weapons and surrendered with their weapons taken apart.
Because that would basically, you know, I mean, you know, to be point blank, scare the shit out of someone, you know, who's on a battlefield and starts hearing voices, especially if those voices are sort of sounding like they're, you know, the Word of God or any other kind of quasi-religious type of thing. This also lends itself to another sort of side of things, at least from my point of view, which is channeling. And this is where the government could easily be influencing certain people out in the field who think they're channeling one group of entities and may indeed end up basically channeling messages from the government when all's said and done. They could even start out legitimate and then get taken over on a certain level. Wouldn't that be possible?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I got off the phone just an hour ago with a woman in Connecticut who heard me on another radio show and has had some weird things going on in her home, and she wanted to talk to me just to see if possibly she was being affected by this technology. Very spiritual woman. Thought that possibly she had been contacted by entities. Her cats were being attacked, were, you know, wincing in pain like they were being attacked by something. She was having burning spots on her legs and on her arms and was, I mean, hearing voices but not to a large extent, and was afraid that she possibly had a demonic entity in her home. And after talking to her a little further, she had had break-ins, things messed with in her house but nothing stolen, and she had had people following her around as well, stalking her. And I said, you know what, I'm a spiritual person too, but, you know, when I've got away, is this an entity or is this someone harassing you? The better bet is on the harassment. So
very interesting. And I have to say, I mean, to get back to your specific story with this woman that you were engaged to, why do you think they targeted her in particular? Any idea?
It was strictly sexual assault based. She was a mortgage broker. She happened to work in an office for Wells Fargo doing mortgaging, you know, and one of the PIs actually worked there as well. And one of the PIs and another physician in San Antonio had become attracted to her. And what better way to sexually assault someone than basically control them into drinking or eating wherever you put the Rohypnol? Because that's the other scary thing with this technology. If you're bombarded with it and they're using a voice other than your own and they're putting voices in your head, well, that's audible harassment. You know what you're hearing. If they put it in your mind in your tone of voice, like the little voice you hear in your head as you read, then a lot of people, a great subset of people, will respond to that as their own thought. Well, then that becomes mind control. And that's what we're seeing in a lot of these victims, my ex-fiancé included, is that you can be controlled. Your behavior can be controlled. You can be brought to rage, brought to sadness, made to think you're thirsty, made to think you're hungry, made to drink alcohol when ordinarily you don't drink, all based on basic controlling your thoughts. Almost, I hesitate to call it subliminal messaging because it's really more of an alteration of EEG than you acting on a suggestion. It's actually placing a thought in your head.
Well, this is where we get into, Manchurian candidate type people who are going out and murdering people, even the schoolyard slangs. Obviously I think there is some antidepressants or whatever type of drugs that are also influencing those individuals apparently, but this side of it, if you couple that with an antidepressant or getting off an antidepressant, then you've really got a state of affairs where you can really manipulate the person.
And you've hit the nail on the head with the Manchurian candidate. That's really where all the studies began, with MKUltra creating Manchurian candidates. Well, at that time, what actually wound up getting the CIA kind of busted, I guess, and forced into a congressional hearing, was at that time they were using drugs, electroshock therapy, LSD, and deprivation to do this. They had to round people up into a hospital setting to do these things to them. And they got away with it for a long time until people finally, there were enough numbers and enough people voicing the complaints that they had a congressional hearing. Well, now they're doing it with directed energy, various radio frequencies, microwave, and they're doing it remotely. You don't have to hoard people into a research setting or a mental hospital to do it anymore. Basically, your home has become the research facility, and you're a guinea pig in your own home. Michael Persinger at Laurentian University used to do the microwave research for the Navy. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's found out that he can bombard the temporal lobes of the brain with microwave energy and simulate alien abduction and simulate what he calls a sentinel being effect. Or you can be alone in an anechoic chamber, a shielded room, while he bombards the right areas of the brain with just the right frequencies of microwave, and you will sense a presence in the room with you, or see aliens, or feel like you're being abducted, and does that all with remote-directed microwave energy.
Yeah, that's really extraordinary. Well, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with our website, and, you know, I had heard you on Coast to Coast, and I had also heard mention of you. I think it was actually Dr. Fred Bell. I saw him at the Conscious Life Expo speaking, and he mentioned you in passing. And I thought, wait a minute, I got to check this guy out because, you know, something went off in my head, so to speak. And so I have to say that, you know, what you're doing is really pretty extraordinary. And the fact that you wrote a book about it and, you know, you're coming forward in this way is kind of unique. Are you feeling, I mean, because I have to say that you're saying that you were basically targeted yourself, maybe as a corollary because you were getting involved in interfering with their sort of using your ex-fiancé as a guinea pig, right?
Well, or as a sex slave would be another way. I mean, this was repeated rapes with resulting in, you know, cervical lacerations, vaginal tears. I mean, it was very bad. After I identified them and started getting some police reports done, and especially started writing the book, not only was I targeted with the break-ins and some of the directed energy and things like that, I had the bolts removed to the hood latch on my vehicle. My hood flew up on me going down the highway. I had gunshots fired through my bedroom.
Incredible.
Trust me, the book was written under duress.
So they did go after you in a pretty substantial way.
Oh, and just about every way. I had anonymous complaints filed with the medical board, wound up in front of the medical board numerous times. One of the times, and this is all in the book, too, but one of the times I went in front of the medical board, I had police reports on the break-ins. I had a recording of them basically breaking in and raping my ex-fiancé, had identities of the people doing it, and still said, well, we want to send you to a psychiatrist because we just don't think another physician would do this to another physician. And, it essentially put me in a position where the only thing that was going to convince them that this was real was me to bring these people in cuffs, already arrested for something.
What did you do?
Well, you know, luckily I'm of sound mind, so I got through the psychiatric evaluation, got through the psychological testing, and then once I started contacting the number of victims that are experiencing this in the United States alone, decided, no, this book has to come out. I mean, this.
Right, I'm assuming that you got these people to stop doing what they were doing. Did you get them arrested?
No. She didn't. The only thing, and this is the catch 22 with this technology, is the minute you mention that it's possibly satellite surveillance based to the police, they blow you off for one. So if anybody's listening out there that's being victimized by this, do not tell the police that. Focus on the stalking and the breaking and entering. And, you know, you might be able to get some interest generated with the police there. And luckily, the police believed my story. I knew the police, the officers I was working with, they were patients. I knew the FBI guy I was working with. And, I mean, these are all people I know. So they had no doubt in my story. We just, the only thing they could really try to bring them to trial with was the sexual assault. And as you know, with a date rape drug, you have no recall. So she really has not enough recall to do that. And stalking laws in virtually every state in this nation are so weak that you really can't bring anybody to prison for stalking. You can't even get them to court for stalking. And Texas,
right.
our attorney general has a huge website dedicated to, oh, we're getting tough on stalking. If you've been followed by the same person twice and you're, you know, fear for your safety, call the police. We're cracking down on stalking. Well, you know, when you call the police and you tell them, you know, the same truck's been following me for a year. My place is getting broken into and nothing's being stolen. They come in, they go, well, nothing's stolen. That's not a felony. If they can't write a felony report, which is felony burglary, it gets filed and not investigated. And that's what most of these victims, here included, were having happen. You know, somebody comes into your house, takes all your clothes out of the bedroom, puts them on your kitchen counter, puts your blender on your nightstand. You come home, you know somebody's been in your house. But when you try to convince the police of that, they just go, oh, okay, another crazy person. Okay, man, we'll write you up a report, and it'll be filed, and nothing will be done.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And that's what they do with the break-ins. It's to put you in a victim mind state, that we're going to come into your house, and there's nothing you're going to do about it.
Okay, so as far as the satellite side of it, I'm assuming, because, you know, that, as you say, is very hard to prove. So how did you go about proving that, or how did you go about documenting that was going on?
I have a friend who's still currently with the CIA, and I pulled in some assistance from him, and that's in the book as well, and told him what was going on and said, you know, I told him, I said, this seems like it's satellite-based because it can target you everywhere, at home, at work, in the car, walking. Not only with the directed energy weapons, which burn you and make muscles twitch and give you headaches, but with the voice-to-skull communication. And there's really very few technologies that can track you everywhere you go other than satellite. And that's the guy I told you about, that I asked him, is this being commercialized? And he said, yes, we now have the ability to see an X-ray image or a thermal image of you inside your home. And yes, there is microwave, laser, ultrasound, and particle beam on it as a weapons platform. But to his knowledge, which, you know, maybe he couldn't tell me or wouldn't tell me, wasn't being used in the United States on anybody. And
This is an interesting, you know, a really interesting thing, because you're also talking about politics and what goes even deeper than that. Because if you're not familiar with our website, we have a interview with Dr. Pete Peterson, who also alluded to some of this you know, technology that you're talking about. And we have Jake Simpson as well as Henry Deacon. And these are whistleblowers from Black Projects that, you know, had spoken about this kind of thing. But
in the book, I call it terrorism, for one, because it is. I've called it satellite terrorism in America because, with my resources, I was able to verify that it was satellite-based. Now, I know there are other theories out there.
Okay. I guess we're going to be going to commercial right here, and we'll be back on the other side of the commercials. And to get back with you, Dr. John Hall, and I encourage everyone to go to your website, satweapons.com.
When you build your own firearm, you build confidence. KT Ordnance offers the best ATF-approved 80% kits that can be made into firearms. And when you build your own firearm, you know it inside and out. You know how it fires. You take pride in ownership. Head to ktordnance.com for a great father-son or father-daughter firearm build, like the .45 caliber KT-1911, or choose the .50 caliber KTP-50 that fires a 275-grain bullet for pure stopping power. KT Ordnance's kits are fully legal, ATF-approved, 80% firearm kits with no serial numbers, no background check, and no government 4473 forms to fill out. Go to ktordnance.com and get yours today. That's ktordnance.com. ktordnance.com. Building your own firearm is fun, and you acquire useful skills, especially at times like these. Remember, when you build your own firearm, you know it inside and out. KT Ordnance also accepts gold and silver payments. Visit ktordnance.com today.
prisoner, rise and answer my question.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, it's a little dark in here, ain't it, Clink, now that you've busted the light?
Where are you?
I'm right in front of you.
Yes. Now, where have you hidden the wax figurine of the Kaiser?
I've got no bloody idea what you did with your wax figurine, and I don't care.
You are the prisoner.
That's right, and as such, I expect some answers out of you. Now, where did you put my stash of freeze-dried food?
We, ate it.
You ate it?
It was quite good.
I'm sure it was. I'll have you know that was freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. That food rehydrates faster, stores longer, is nutritionally superior to, and tastes better than any other long-term storage food available. Now, let me out of here.
If you could get us some more, perhaps we could negotiate.
Yeah, perhaps I'll just confiscate your keys, Klaus, and let myself out the front door.
But wait.
I'm busy.
Get your own supply of delicious long-term storable food by dialing 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll-free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
This is The Micro Effect. The Micro Effect Broadcasting Network.
Project Camelot, and we are back with Dr. John Hall. John, are you there?
Sure, Carrie.
Okay, very good. So this is a fascinating discussion we're having, and I do hope that we've got people out there that are listening. I'm hoping we can take some time for questions. What I'd like to do is at the end of this hour and at the end of the second hour. So we have two short question sessions where we can allow other people to call in.
Sure.
Basically, we've got an amazing amount of information on our website that does relate to what you're talking about. And I do understand that the satellite sort of side of things is you have verification. And like I said, we have whistleblowers that have verified that this is going on. What seems really amazing is that they are bothering to deal with individuals that really don't seem to have any actual bearing on, national security or, investigations of any kind, quasi-terrorism, even power, access to power, whatever it is. In other words, why they would point a satellite at someone for such a sort of a superficial thing.
Well, in my mind, I think that smacks more of experimentation than anything else. I know most governments are trying to move toward a new one world government or new world order type of system. My own theory, and I have nothing to back this up except just looking at this from a logical perspective, you can only control the population with guns and taxes to so much of an extent. I mean, there will always be people that escape some control from tax and from guns. With this technology, you can control everyone. I don't know if you know, with the 2010 census coming up, they're using GPS for the first time in history. Their plan is to have GPS coordinates on every structure that houses human beings. And if you look at that in context with what we're talking about, well, I mean, they can see inside your house, they can alter your behavior, they can alter your thoughts, they can attack you with weapons, and now they know exactly where every person is with coordinates. It sure looks like it's experimentation. And the other thing that leads me to that belief, you're right, most of the people are just everyday, ordinary people with really no bearing on political power or political direction. There are some whistleblowers and some people that are involved in big lawsuits, either on the court side of it or one of the plaintiffs that are being victimized by this. But they're the minority. The majority of the people are housewives, doctors, lawyers, inventors, you know, just, from every walk of life. There's a lady here who's a social worker. I mean, one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet, being terrorized.
Incredible. So I wonder if there's, obviously this would be sort of an intense thing to do, but if there might be a sort of profile that one could draw up that links these people in any way, shape, or form, a vulnerability, some proclivity to being able to be manipulated in this way. And I know that from what I saw on your website that you're actually now writing a book on how to protect oneself. And I'm thinking that in the process of that, that there, again, might be some kind of marker, some kind of proclivity. I do understand the outlier, the outlier concept in terms of vulnerability, but I'm thinking in terms of actual targeting for their purposes. In other words, are they really getting a random sample, or are they actually targeting a certain group with certain markers?
Well, one theory, in talking to a former DARPA scientist who worked on some of this technology, one theory on that is that basically everyone is controllable with this technology, except a small subset of people, and the small subset that aren't controllable are the ones being harassed and discredited. That's one theory, and that's a pretty scary theory. We, through Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, we have done surveys on upwards of 600, 700 people to look for similarities between victims, to look for that magic thing that you're talking about, that one marker or one occupation or one like or dislike that everybody across the board has, and it's just not there. It's totally random. Now, what we have found through surveys is that 70% of the victims are female, between 35 and 55, and living alone, whether single or divorced and living alone. So a lot of what's going on is sexual assault based. And that's kind of what lends us to believe that this is agency sterile experimentation, where basically criminal groups like big PI groups and large law firms who use PIs have been given access to this technology and have been given carte blanche use of it to victimize whoever they want, while the government sits back and takes notes. Because what they found is that it's a good tool or weapon to use to commit rape.
Well, what this leads to, in my mind anyway, especially the use the sexual side of it, is what goes on with the normal, if there could be such a thing, normal mind control victims that have come forward, like Candy Jones and so on, who are in fact turned into agents where they use sex to break down the walls, and to create the altars. And so it may be that, and I don't know if you've gone down this road, because I haven't read your book, though I'd certainly like to. is basically if they're doing this using sex, then they actually have, in other words, it's not the sex in and of itself, it's what the sex
can allow them
to have access to within the personality. And they, if they create the altars, if they're able to actually create, as you say, using somebody's in their house alone into an agent, basically, for them to go out and to do whatever they wish at whatever time, get on a plane, fly to a certain place, do, you know, then they've basically created an agent using satellite technology.
No, and I'm that I'm sure goes on. That's gone on for a long time, and you're right. Sex as a tool for that purpose has been going on for a very long time. Now, what we found, and at least in most of the victims we've talked to, they don't seem to be getting used as an agent for anything outlandish. It does seem to be strictly almost experimental, in that they're just seeing, you know, how long it takes to break a person, how long it takes to get you fired from your job and discredited by a psychiatrist who diagnoses you as delusional. And like I said, in the sexual part of it, at least in the cases that we've identified and talked to and found out where the source is, like here in San Antonio, you know, these guys they're not creating agents. They're just harassing people and raping who they can.
Right, but there may be different levels. In other words, you're accessing, in other words, the most pragmatic, you know, for lack of a better word, level, in which you've got, you know, these people that are on the ground, given sort of, it's like being given a toy to play with. And then, as you said, that the people above that are basically sitting back and taking notes. Perhaps that's actually what is going on. But on the other hand, you have to, you know, take it up another, because, you know, you're talking to Project Camelot, so, you know, you have to understand where we go with stuff like this. But generally, because of what we know and because of the kind of people that we're interacting with, there is an, you know, in other words, there's a much larger plan, and there that it does have basically not only political probably portent, but it goes beyond that to where we're talking about sort of running the world and using agents and or people that may be turned and they may be manipulated to actually work in, you know, and this is possibly very outlandish to even suggest, but I'm going to throw it out anyway, which is in the astral plane. In other words, the people themselves will know they're harassed in the real world, in their everyday lives, and so on and so forth. They will have, you know, their barriers broken down. But basically, the actual, what actually they do with it and do with these people may actually happen in other realities. And I know that, you know, that may not be a place you want to go. But it has an interesting bearing on what is going on here, because I have to say that I, you know, just knowing what I know, and you know, the rabbit hole goes very deep. There is ultimately a plan and an agenda, and you know, we just released an interview with somebody who's basically talking about being in a room with these people who do literally run the world, and I have to say that, you know, that their plans are pretty extensive, you know,
well,
and that's
yeah,
an understatement.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you there, and I have delved a little bit into some of that, and that's obviously where this technology is taking us. There would be no other reason for it. The thing that I see, most of these victims have been victimized for, some of them, a decade or more.
Incredible.
And I know here in San Antonio, and several victims, and my ex-fiancée included, it's gone on for almost a decade. Looking at that from a medical doctor's point of view, well, when we do studies, medical studies, you know, there's only two reasons you do a decade-long study on someone, and that's to determine carcinogenesis, is it going to cause cancer over a long term, and behavioral studies. And that's the other thing we're looking at, is why are some of these just everyday, normal, you know, lower socioeconomic, usually level people being, harassed with this and being subjected to this for a decade or more, and if this is a tool that's going to be used in a new world order situation, well, you're going to want to know, is it going to cause a bunch of funky cancers or rare cancers in someone with long-term exposure? And you're going to want to see long-term behavioral studies with it. And that certainly is, from a medical perspective, what it looks like. Because if you were subjecting people to all this microwave energy or infrared or X-ray-based imaging, if it's going to cause some really rare tumors to crop up in 80% of the people that's exposed to it in a two-year period, well, you need to look for something else. Because when a bunch of people all of a sudden show up with a tumor that is usually in a 0.5% of the population, and all of a sudden there's a big prevalence of it, well, that's going to be a giveaway. People are going to notice that. You know, other physicians are going to notice that. So it almost looks like some of the people being subjected to this for long periods of time are actually undergoing probably some type of medical study as well as control study.
Right. And so this is actually where I'm going with that, because the idea that if it is going on over a prolonged period of time, you really do have, in a sense, these individuals possibly being used as in the case of, Candy Jones and there are others who basically become, as I say, for lack of a better word, agents. In other words, individuals or Manchurian candidates where they are actually using those people in ways that those people are not aware in, even taking them places, sending them places, even out of body, and so on and so forth. So you just have some sort of mechanistic, everyday, demented, private investigator firm or something that's just going hog wild with a toy that they've been given. And sure, you're going to have aspects of that, but I think basically there's going to be some much deeper ulterior motives.
Sure. As you move further up the food chain in these individuals, I'm sure at the top, the whole point of it is much different than what you actually see at the ground level. You're right. And they've been trying to work on Manchurian candidates since the 50s. So now they've got the technology to do it without having to put you in a basement and deprive you and shock you and drug you and beat you. Now they can do it with directed energy, and it's much easier for them to do and much harder to detect, because if you do notice it happening to you, and most people that are controlled don't, and they're hard to convince that they're being controlled. And I've seen this firsthand. People have their personalities completely altered, their likes and dislikes changed, their vernacular and their vocabulary changed, where you know it's not that person actually talking to you, that they're being controlled. You cannot convince a controlled person that that's happening. And that's even the really horrible part of it, because when you talk about creating agents, these people don't know that they are, and there's no convincing that will convince them. One of the other things we're really looking at doing is how we can, get through to some of these people, possibly through hypnosis. There's a lot of different things that we're looking at and studying to get some answers on that, because it's so easy to control the person with this technology that our future is really at jeopardy. When it begins.
Well, absolutely. You can put people – now, this is another way of looking at this, and I'm wondering if you've gone down this road, which is, in other words, what you're talking about on the one hand is the sort of more drastic things, in other words, that lead to a person actually finding out that they're stalked. What about the idea that there could be people out there that actually don't know they're stalked, don't know they're being used, don't know they're being manipulated, and yet all these technologies are being put into play with them? And at the same time, but it's kind of like if you viewed it as a needle on a meter, where the needle, instead of going over into the red, it never makes it into the red, so that it never goes above into the normal waking consciousness such that the person even knows. And then you can take, say, a government official. You can take, even, for example, possibly a president of a company, a president of a country and manipulate their behavior such that they don't know they're being manipulated. And maybe, I mean, you know, and I know it's diabolical, but basically then we're talking about, you know, for all intents and purposes, you can run countries.
Oh, it's not, it's diabolical and it's happening. And that is already happening. You know, what we're dealing with, I mean, I'm kind of at the ground level of this. I'm dealing with people that I have contact with that are voicing the complaints of the stalking and the hearing voices. The people that are being controlled usually aren't hearing voices. You're right. They don't know they're being controlled. And there have been some heads of state that have voiced these complaints that they feel like they're, you know, being mind controlled and they're hearing voices and they know that someone's attempting subliminal control.
Really? And has anybody contacted you? I mean, I understand that you probably wouldn't go on the record if they had, but can you tell us, you don't have to name names, but are you being contacted possibly by such people?
Yes, I have been.
Wow. Incredible. So this is, I mean, is this your area of expertise when you, you know, years ago when you became a doctor?
No, I'm an anesthesiologist by trade, actually. But I've been in the Mind Science Foundation for a long time. Where we have people from every field, spiritualists, shamanists, doctors, PhDs, neurologists, neurosurgeons, imaging people. I mean, it's a great organization for anybody who's interested in the study of the mind. And so, you know, we all brainstorm, we all look at each other's research and are able to come up with, you know, a lot of stuff that's cutting edge. And that's in the private sector. And you always have to remember that the government, as a rule, is on a 10-year curve. So whatever you see at the private sector, imagine the government is usually about 10 years ahead of you on the research. And that's why we go back to when I talked about the Army's, you know, addendum to non-lethal weapons. That was in 96, and they were already talking about successfully using microwave hearing. At the University of Irvine, currently, they're working on synthetic telepathy, where warfighters or soldiers will be able to communicate thought to thought in the field. Well, that tells you something, that if they're now trying to arrange it where one soldier can communicate to another thought to thought, well, they've long ago got it down to where they can do it unidirectionally, where they can communicate back and forth with that one person. Now they're going to be decoding the EEG, recepting it, and then receiving it, and then sending it back down to another person's mind for reception, and then vice versa, back and forth. So, and that's being worked on right now, and that's actually been leaked into the public from the University of Irvine.
So I'm wondering, so basically you're talking about, I mean, I think that there's a sci-fi movie in which, or maybe it was something I was reading, in which basically there's some kind of small device that the person wears, which allows them to tap into, you know, a network of telepathy, in essence, where you could have soldiers in the field tapping into that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's how they're working on it at the University of Irvine. Yeah, it would be with a scalp probe. I mean, even at the current Olympics, I don't know if you saw, there's a company called Interaxon that has volunteers that are sitting with a couple of electrodes just kind of not even taped or, you know, adhered down to the scalp, but just, you know, near the scalp. And they have these volunteers watching different phases of the Olympics, and they're actually decoding and conducting the brainwave activity over the Internet. And the people's minds, their excitement or their boredom with whatever event they're watching, creates a light show 3,000 miles away via the Internet. All using brainwaves.
Incredible. Well, I mean, this is really so far beyond what is interesting. Also, I mean, because you're talking about manipulating humans, I'm wondering if there's also corollaries with animals, and then you could take, for example, and you know, this is crazy, but wild animals and turn them into weapons.
sure that would be possible. All of the research usually starts with animals, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's already being attempted.
Right.
Maybe that's why they're having all the mountain lion attacks in California there for a while.
Right. Anything's possible. I mean, it's very hard to determine whether or not people themselves are believable and authentic at this point. I mean, it's, you know, in other words, when you have such mind control, you can also have, synthetic beings that are controlled then using this kind of technology and so on and so forth. I mean, there's nanotechnology, from what I understand, that is also able to create physical beings that can be manipulated using this kind of thing. And then there's also, if nanobots get, in other words, become intelligent or manipulated using this kind of, because you're talking about a manipulation and you're talking about a biofeedback kind of mechanism within any kind of, in other words, even a computer eventually will is like a biofeedback device.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it just goes all different directions. It's kind of mind-boggling to even start contemplating it. Let's come back at the other side of the hour. I really appreciate you being on with me.
Sure.
Rise and answer my question. Oh, crap.
Yeah, it's a little dark in here, ain't it, Clink, now that you've busted the light?
Where are you?
Right in front of you.
Yes. Now, where have you hidden the wax figurine of the Kaiser?
I've got no bloody idea what you did with your wax figurine, and I don't care.
You are the prisoner.
That's right, and as such, I expect some answers out of you. Now, where did you put my stash of freeze-dried food?
We, ate it.
You ate it?
It was quite good.
I'm sure it was. I'll have you know that was freeze-dried food from the freeze-dry guy. That food rehydrates faster, stores longer, is nutritionally superior to, and tastes better than any other long-term storage food available. Now, let me out of here.
If you could get us some more, perhaps we could negotiate.
Yeah, perhaps I'll just confiscate your keys, Klaus, and let myself out the front door.
But, mate...
I'm busy. Get your own supply of delicious long-term storable food by dialing 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll-free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
Jesse James, the famous outlaw, lived to be 103. Jesse James was elected a United States Senator for one term from Montana. Jesse James poisoned John Wilkes Booth, the assassin of President Abraham Lincoln, in 1903. Las Vegas is the county seat of Clark County, Nevada, and it is named after William Andrews Clark, the alias of Jesse James. Jesse James was involved in the creation of the Ku Klux Klan in 1867. Jesse James knew that the Civil War in America was fought over the issue of a central bank. Jesse James arranged the murder of General George Custer at the Little Bighorn River. This is Ralph Epperson, and if these claims are unknown to you, you have not watched my 4-hour DVD entitled Jesse James, live to be 103. Visit my website at ralph-epperson.com for the details